Most definitely a privilege for me to be here tonight. I'd like to read a verse, please, in James chapter 4. The Epistle of James chapter 4. And verse 13. Both ye now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there for a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what will be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. And there's the little question in verse 14, for what is your life? Probably like me, brethren, that preached the gospel of Jesus. The unsaved. Thank God for the gospel we heard tonight. Life at best is very great, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheep, the same be in time. But really, James chapter 4 is written to Christians. And James' desire is that they just their language, their vocabulary. Notice that we read in verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So that above in verse 13, we have the language of saints that are living out of focus. They say, in verse 13, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, we will buy and sell and get gain. But James asks them, what is your life? So I want to ask each one of you tonight, and I want to ask myself, what is your life? It is very possible that there are some here tonight that are still in high school, maybe even earlier than that. But I suppose you might have in mind a career, or the college, university, maybe even a master's, PhD. Then maybe if you can wait that long, get married, find a life partner, and then you'll be shopping for grapes and carpets. It all have to match beautifully. And then there'll be children. Diaper bags. And then maybe the intention, the desire of really doing well, and I wish the best for you, whether in school or at work. I hope you do the very, very best you can. Then looking down the road, maybe move on into middle years and later years. A boat, a cabin, and retirement. You don't need a missionary to come from Mexico to get after you all these things at all. But is that all? Is that your life? of the man that has had most influence in my life. I copied off the corner of his desk under the glass in the left-hand corner. These words, fruitful life is not a place of sudden glory won. Just an adding up of days in which God's will. Back in November, Brother Paul Keeson and I were having meetings in the city of Sonora in Mexico. During the day, I wanted to try and visit several contacts. Seed sower texts have been given out. We'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow in the will of God. But people have taken the text and gone to every corner of Mexico, and every little while we get a letter asking for more information and so on. So while I was with Paul, I asked him if during the day we could go and look some of these people up, some of them 2 hours away. We were doing that one day and came across curve in a very narrow highway, a couple of curves actually, and as we came around the curve, I saw a little pickup Paul was driving. He had his eyes on the road, I hope, but we saw a little pickup overturned up against the wall, and a man staggering out of it. He looked like he was in serious trouble, and we were about to keep going. There was nobody else around. We're about to keep going, and I said to Paul, "Paul, there's at least 3 bodies in the grass here." And so we stopped and got out, and Paul had his cell phone with him. Immediately he called for help. But we stood by these 3 men, and as they struggled with life, it wasn't long. The rescue people took about a half hour to get there. But we stood there helplessly and we watched one of them breathe his last toward his eternity. And I thought of this verse. It is but a vapor. And you know, that man, 3 of them died that afternoon, but that first man, I couldn't help but be saddened, I think, as I looked through his stuff, trying to find some identification. Maybe on a very different plane from what young people in Toronto do. But he had his little bag with him. He was on his way home from work. He had a machete and some avocados in his bag. And a few other personal belongings. There's life as a vapor vanished away. So in my little intervention this evening, I'd like to ask you, what is your life? When I was in my late teens, having grown up in Venezuela, South America, I was quite aware of the need abroad. I moved to Vancouver. I was impressed with the reference Mr. Crawford made the other night in prayer. I think he said he's 150 conferences in Toronto. In Vancouver, in my late teens, I started to think of it all my life. I thought of a place where there is no assembly work that I know of even to this day. The little country of Panama. I was praying about Panama, and I studied up. Began to investigate how to go there, and different cities and so on. Nothing ever worked out, and then a few years later, I got married, and I bought a little 40-year-old house, and then the 11-month baby boy, 11-month boy in the family, and I moved into that danger zone of, well, maybe just after all, I was graduating from university, there was employment on the horizon, there was a little family, and maybe I'll just settle down and live water. When all of a sudden, Mexico came into focus. I know many of you know the story how I ended up going to Mexico. I had always wanted to go back to Venezuela, where my parents lived. But a lady got saved in Vancouver, and 3 months later she got baptized. She was a Mexican woman. A year later, a brother asked if I could go with him to Mexico and visit Señor Felipa. And you've probably heard me say this before, but I say it honestly with all my heart. The way I felt about going to Mexico just at that particular time was, I said to him, David Smith, I've married a wife, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, I bought a piece of ground, therefore, I cannot go. But I wonder what would happen if God started to work in your life. Maybe that's evident that He wanted you to go, maybe not to Mexico. Maybe not even to a foreign field. But I wonder if you're at that danger zone in your life when you will not allow something for God to come in throughout your life. And to let life slip through your fingers and to get to the end of life and having all said and done, to have missed the real purpose in life. I learned from a man that does these, you know his name. His name is Zig Ziglar. Probably heard of him. He said something that has really helped me in many areas of my life. He said, the main thing is that the main thing always be the main thing. You see, sometimes we get sidetracked in life. But as I said, it is important to go to school. I remember a man, and I think he was very sincere, but he said to me about 25 years ago, David, why bother going to university? The Lord's going to come. The Lord is going to come, but I thank God I didn't take that piece of advice. I thank God I did go to school. In the 90s and now at the threshold of a new millennium, if the Lord doesn't come, it's almost a necessity to go to school. And may God bless you with a good job, but you don't never let anything divert you from remembering that the main thing is that the main thing be always the main thing. I remember when I went into the Dean of Languages, Literature, and Linguistics at Simon Fraser University. She had asked if I could help with undergraduate Spanish classes while I continued studies in Spanish. I had done business administration, and then she had encouraged me to major in Spanish and an arts degree, which I did. And you know, the curious thing about what happened to me was I got that major in arts on Monday. And Saturday I boarded a plane for Mexico with my wife, little boy, 4 years. I remember when I went into her and I said, Dr. Kirchner, something that's come up and I'm not going to follow through on what we had talked about. I'm going to Mexico. She said, whatever for? I said, well, I'm going to preach the gospel. She said, how much are they going to pay you? I said, I don't know, that's the problem. I'm going forever. No, I didn't say that. But I said, no, nobody has guaranteed a single cent. He said, how about benefits? They're going to give you a house and a car. I said, no. She started to look kind of worried and she said, David, could I arrange an appointment with a psychologist? I said, no, that's all right, Dr. Kirchner. See, I've never talked about this before, but I'm impressed with the number of young people here tonight. And I would like to try and make it absolutely clear that the missionary stories we read in books, the God that was true to them is the same God today. And in 1999, the same principles that guided the Apostle Paul and missionaries down through the ages, those same principles hold 100% true today. As I said, I was working on the side, but basically just right out of university when I was commended to the Lord's work. We sold that little house, what was left from the mortgage, we paid off a loan that a family member had made. The story itself of how our house sold, what happened was it was March of 1988. My wife and I had talked to the brethren at the assembly in Victoria Drive in Vancouver, and they were sad but happy at the same time to see us leave. But the problem was the house. We had to sell the house, so we put the house on the market. April and May went by and absolutely nothing happened. We started to wonder, it was our little fleece, as it were, as far as guiding time from God as to when actually to leave from Mexico. I had been there by myself once. My wife had never been there. But we were waiting for the house to sell. And for the first time since we had gotten married, Lois stayed home from prayer meeting because our little boy was quite sick, so I went off to the prayer meeting. And during the prayer meeting, the phone rang. And it was Lois to say that there was a woman that just arrived from Vietnam, and she wanted to buy the house. And she had a briefcase with the money in it. and he wanted to buy it right away. So I went home after the prayer meeting, and the deal was made, but she asked, one of the clauses had to be if we could be out of the house in a week. So we put everything we had for sale. It was a crazy week. I remember the phone ringing about all these ads in the paper we had, the piano in the car. The phone was ringing to say, is it two or three pedals? And in my confusion and worry, I would say, which one, the piano or the car? We sold everything we had and put it into four suitcases. What was left? You know, I wanted to take fine, strong prudence. And my wife wanted to take Betty Crocker and Company's Coming. There was this discussion. Really, as far as the bank account, almost nothing. My wife, I remember when we were through everything we had the day before we left for Mexico. He took it very, very hard. But we got on the plane and away we went. 4 hours later, we landed in Puerto Vallarta. And eventually found a place to stay. But what I wanted to get to was this. We really wondered. Missionary principles still work. And I always remember our first piece of mail from anywhere in Mexico was from Dr. Higgins in New Jersey. You know, a lot of people had said when we left, David, we're right behind you. And I don't want to criticize them tonight, but I looked in my rearview mirror several times and I couldn't see some of them. But thank God that just when we needed to pay our next month's rent, in that envelope was exactly the amount we had, the amount we needed to pay the rent. And that was just a small beginning of what has now been 11 years. And as far as the things of life and sense are concerned, you know, I pay $180 rent a month. But I look at what God has done. You know, there's no career that I would exchange for just realizing that step by step, doing what God would have us do, day by day, looking to God, and in any measure possible, serving Him. No other life that could be so worthwhile. You know, very strange things have happened in those years. When I see these men, see this year today, so many years, I thank God for their faithfulness. You know, I sometimes look back and it's like a dream, all this that has happened, and such strange events have taken place in life, and I find myself sometimes in such different and strange circumstances in our service for God. But I thank God for the opportunity that He has granted to be able to serve Him in this world. And what I'm trying to say, my dear young Christian, tonight, is I don't know what your life has before you. I don't know what path God has designed for your life. But ask yourself tonight the question, what is my life? What is my purpose in being here? Frances Ridley Havergal, she wrote that hymn we sing, Take My Life, and let it be fully consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my will, not my own. When she was a girl, her mother died. One of the last things, apparently, that the mother said to Frances were these words, Frances, are you preparing yourself for what God has prepared for you? If I could do it all over again. Young fellas, if I knew that in 1999 I was going to be in Mexico, if I could do it all over again, I would spend a lot more time studying my Bible. If I could do it all over again, if I could go back and be 16, 17, 18, 19 years of age. There's an awful lot of things that I will cut out and not waste my time. Because now, life is so, so busy. Now my mother-in-law, the last time I was in Vancouver, she said, how are you doing up there in the bedroom, David? All day up there doing nothing. Oh, thank you very much. I was trying to do a little studying. I know people think preachers don't do anything. But you know, I would like to ask you tonight, are you preparing yourself for what God has prepared for you? Or are you letting your life slip through the cracks? Maybe you're wasting your time on things that, in the end, really don't matter. What is your life? The only life we have, the only opportunity we have, young Christian, miss out what you might be able to do for God will be to miss out the purpose God has for you. The will of God is often a costly thing, but not to do the will of God is often even more costly. The life of someone live for self and not for God. So may God help you. Evaluate tonight, take inventory. Go through a thorough check. What is your life? Are you preparing yourself for what God has prepared for you? If you haven't been doing so, in Toronto Conference 1999, start of a life that will be sensitive to the will of God. Okay. Our Father, we bow this evening in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus. We do thank you tonight that Christ was preached and Him crucified We look further back during this day, and we do thank thee for thy goodness and thy blessing for the very first moment that long since began. We do thank thee for the way thou hast spoken to our hearts. Father, we think of the potential of a meeting like this one tonight. If each of us were to live to our full capability for God, we think of what God could do. We ask that it might be so. Father, we pray that there is such a very range of ages and circumstances and situations in life represented in this meeting. We do pray that thou wilt speak to each of our hearts. The result will be the glory of God and the blessing of the people of God and the unsaved. Help us then, as we part tonight, we pray that thou wilt bless us and watch over us, give us rest through the night. As we partake of this food, we thank thee for these refreshments. And ask thy blessing upon our conversation one with another. We thank the precious name of the Lord.